The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
We've been talking about Christmas up until this point, and if you didn't make it to the Christmas Eve service, it is online. It's just short. It's not nearly as long as my regular sermons. It's basically the Christmas story from Joseph's perspective. Take a listen to it. I'll probably do it again in a few years and change it because I've gotten more insights into it. So we're in this in-between time where it's the first of the year, and I wanted to, one of the things we are really focusing on this year coming up is our small groups and life groups, as we call them here. So I wanted to spend some time today talking about life groups, talking about what they are, what does it mean to do life together. I would like to say that my goal is for everybody in this church to be in a life group. And it really is, but I don't want to force people into something they're not comfortable with, they don't want to do. And we would have to have a lot more groups, a lot more leaders. So I'm not ready for that yet, but I'm ready for whatever God's going to do. But I wanted to talk to you about the importance of being in a group of people that you can grow with and learn from. So we're going to look at that today. We're going to end up in the book of Hebrews. We may not start there, but we will definitely end up there. You know, if you go just about 12 miles north of San Francisco, there's about 240 acres of what are called old growth coast redwood. And this is what's called, this place is called Muir Woods. And I've heard about it in some stories I've been reading. They talk about Muir Woods and that take place there. But it's interesting. This is a view from the bottom of the tree looking up. I think that's an awesome view. These trees are known for their height. They're known for being extremely tall and beautiful. And they actually, it's possible for them to grow to be 380 feet tall. 380 feet tall. Now, we know that the tallest one there now is only about 258 feet. Only 258 feet. Now think about this. I'm 6 foot, so how many of those am I? I'm not going to calculate the math right now, but that's a lot of me. More me than there needs to be. Yeah, you could probably figure it out real quick. But they're extremely tall. And the average tree is probably between 500 and 800 years old. They've been around a while. And the oldest tree there, they believe, is 1,200 years old. Wow. Now, if you go and you stand under those trees and you look up and you look up through the canopy, I mean, it's almost 20 stories above you. I remember a few years ago, I went to New York City. First time I've ever been, and I've been to Chicago, you know, so I've been in big cities. But the first time I've ever been and looked up at big skyscrapers. And I felt this small. Imagine standing amongst these tall, tall trees looking up and how small you feel. Now it's amazing to think that these giant trees don't fall down. They get winds there. I mean, it's on the coast. The winds come off the coast and blow. And it's also amazing to think that the seed is about the size of a tomato. And from that seed comes a 280 foot tall tree. But the most amazing fact about these trees is the fact that their roots only grow 4 feet into the ground. 4 feet. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in New York City and they told me that this tall skyscraper only has 4 foot of foundation, I wouldn't stay around very long because that building's coming down. 4 feet. Now, the question is, how is it possible if those trees only have 4 feet of root into the ground, and if you've ever dug trees, you know there's always a taproot, and that's what keeps it strong, and the ones that go out keep it a little bit stronger, but the taproot is only 4 foot deep. Any other tree grows out, you know, if you go and look at any tree, you could tell, like, especially if you look like over there, as far out as the branches are the roots, right? and they go deep. I've had trees that I've dug out that I couldn't dig out the root all the way. You know, anybody who's dug up a tree knows you can cut it off and you can grind it out, but you know, there are still roots that are farther down that you'll never get because it searches for water. But these are only 4 foot deep. Now, the way that these trees survive is the fact that you will never ever see one of these trees by itself. You can't walk out into a field and have one of these giant redwoods just standing there all alone. It would never survive. It would not survive the smallest of winds. But what happens is those trees grow their roots together. They always grow in forest, in groups, in groves, and they intertwine their roots. And they hold each other in place. They grow stronger because they depend on each other. Now, I would argue that these giant trees would topple over if it weren't for the community of trees that it has. And if you and I try to grow spiritually apart from a community, we are going to topple over. Because see, ministry occurs in relationship. We live in a society that is obsessed with individualism. We have for the longest time. You heard the music. I did it my way, right? Yeah, I've tried that. I did it my way and I failed miserably. You know? I gotta be me, you know? It's not something new. The society has been that way a long time. A lot of the young people are like, what is he singing? I have no idea what these people are. Old songs. Okay. I don't listen to the modern. I'm sure there's some modern music out there that actually also talks about me. Me, 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 me. See, Satan has implanted a lie into us to saying that you don't need anybody else. You've got you and that's all you need. I can do it. Pull myself up. Pull myself up by my bootstraps. That's an old term too. You young people don't know. You know, we live in a society that is very self-centered and self-focused. Most of the most influential sins in our culture are caused because of our independence. Think of pornography. Pornography doesn't happen in the public usually. It happens in private. It's me, by myself, trying to satisfy my wants and my needs. Greed, failure to take responsibility. I don't want to take responsibility. If I take responsibility, I'll be responsible. And I don't want to be responsible, right? So I'll let somebody else take that responsibility. These are all fostered within the context of radical individualism. I'll tell you today, you have to watch out for number one. You have to make the most of what you can do. And just as these sequoia trees are stronger because they're together, you and I are stronger because we're with each other. That's why we're strong. It's always been God's will that we connect with other people. It's very important, yes, that we stay connected to God. Yes, I agree. We need to have that connection. But that connection also has to be like this. Our connection with God is the foundation for this connection. But we also need the connection this way. This is what it says in Genesis. Let's go back to the beginning. We'll be looking at Genesis starting in May. But this is what it says in Genesis 2:18, it says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Think about this. Adam is in the Garden of Eden. It is the perfect environment. Everything is awesome. There is nothing wrong, nothing out of place. He has every need he should have. And he walks with God. He sees God. He talks with God. Who better to talk to and have a relationship than with God? He's in perfection. He's in perfection. He's not imperfect. He's in perfection. And in the midst of this, God says, it's not good that he's by himself. But he's not. But he is. Because there's no one like him. There are no other humans. There are animals. Oh, I love my cats. And my cats are great. They get on my lap and they sit on my lap. But I'll be honest with you. It's not the same as when my wife gets on my lap or my kids get on my lap. You can tell her I said that. Got to get brownie points where you can. Adam's in the perfect environment, and yet God says it's not good for him to be by himself. Now, I said that I love to have my wife sit on my lap or my kids sit on my lap, but I want to be honest with you. Family is not enough. We may sit and say, you know, hey, I've got God, I've got my family, we'll go out and we will live in the middle of nowhere in the forest and we'll kill it. And some of the guys are going, we'll kill what we eat, we'll raise it and we'll be nobody around us for miles. That's not what God planned. I mean, I like that too. I like that idea. I like going out and working the ground and hunting and doing all that. I need more than just my family. I love my family. Believe me. I love my family and I love spending time with my family. But I need more. That's why we have coffee on Saturday mornings. I need that. That's why we have life group. Because we need that. God said it was not good for man to be alone. So, and you can say, well, I have my wife, I have my kids, I have my family, I'll be fine. Did you know that for 2,000 years, the family wasn't enough? For 2,000 years in cultures, the family was not enough. There was always more. You were always involved in other people's lives, more than just the family. And believe me, there are sometimes you don't want to be involved in your family's lives. And you need friends, because then that's the only normal friendships you have. Only normal relationships you have. Because families are dysfunctional. But it wasn't until the modern American twisting of society that we see that I have my family and I will see you at the soccer fields with the kids later. We don't even know them. We don't even know the people that were around. My wife and I coached soccer for 2 years and we would have a party at the end of the soccer season. Maybe 10% of the people would come. I mean, I coach their kids. Now maybe they don't like me, but that's fine. But they don't even come to spend a little time, personal time together. They don't want to be involved in our lives. And they don't want us involved in theirs. Do you know that there are over 30 commands in the Testament, in the New and Old Testament, that you cannot do by yourself or just with your family? There are 30 commands that we can't do sitting in rows. We have to sit in circles to do them. And what that means, I don't mean literally sitting. We sit in rows. This is not conducive to getting to know each other. I mean, Glenn and Barb may get to know each other while they're sitting there. Not too much though. But Trent won't get to know Nola, and Nola won't get to know Bethany Curtis at the back, because that's just the way it is. But when we sit in circles, we know each other. We get to know each other. When we sit in a small group in a living room, in a life group in a living room, we get to know each other. But there are 30 commands, and I don't have time, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but I did want to go through a few of them with you. And these are, here, this, and I'm just picking and choosing some of these. This is one. This is from Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. It says, and let us consider how we may spur, and I may use this later in my sermon, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, how can you spur each other on if you're not in a relationship with somebody? You know, if I didn't know Trent and I walked up on the street and I said, hey, good job today. He'd be going, who are you? And what are you talking about? Right? I have to know him. I have to be in a relationship with him. And when I'm in a relationship with him and I do that, it means more. I can't do that alone. And my kids expect me to do it. My wife expects me to do it too. And I mean it when I do it with them, but there's something different. If Jeff does something and I tell him, I really appreciate that. There's a bigger connection there. That's one. Let me get, here's a good one. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Now, your family may be a low position person. That's not what it's talking about. Remember, all of these verses are directed at a congregation, at a group of people. How can we associate with somebody of low position if we're not willing to associate outside of our family? You can't. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Well, you know, there's four of us in my family. The four of us can get together in Jesus' name and he's there. Yeah, he is. But so much greater if Glenn and Barb and I get together and God is there. You know, there's something greater to it. The last one, Proverbs 27:17, is iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It doesn't say as iron sharpens iron, so one family member sharpens another family member. I'm sorry, I can't sharpen my family members as well as I should. But I'll be honest with you, if Jeff comes over and says something to my wife or says something to my children, it means something more. Because it didn't come from Dad, because Dad's harping on her all the time. But when somebody else does it, it matters. It matters. Why is it important that we be involved in small and informal groups? I would argue that our supernatural life, our spiritual life, our life in the Spirit of God that the New Testament describes is developed by meeting together with people in small groups. What we call life groups. And we are encouraged to live lives of righteousness and to thrive spiritually. Can you do it on your own? You can. It's a lot harder. But when I have people challenging me in my life, I grow better and stronger and quicker. See, we have a choice to make. We can either spiritually thrive or we can spiritually survive. I have been there. I have had times in my life that I was just barely spiritually surviving. Going through the motions. Yeah, I believe. Yeah, mm-hmm. But in my heart, it wasn't there until somebody comes to me and says, are you sure that's what you believe? It was a friend who did that. And I'm like, you're right. I may say it, but I'm not living it. Life becomes routine and our activities we get involved with, they seem to lose their meaning, especially the things we do at church. And things we do, you know, reading the Bible. Okay, so what do? I get up in the morning and I read scripture. And it ends up, if I keep doing it all that time, it can become routine. And it becomes a problem because it is routine. But I want to be honest with you. If I am reading scripture and then later on I'm going to have contact with somebody. If Jeff and I are getting together on Saturday and I read the rest of scripture that morning and it hit me, I can go to Jeff and say, man, have you read this? He's like, yeah, let's read it. And we read it and when we talk about it and we grow. Or if I'm reading scripture and then our life group happens on Tuesday night and I share that and God, I'll be honest with you, God weaves into my life these things that come up when I'm with people. Meaning that he'll bring something to my mind that I can use that night. And if I'm not going to meet with people, how's he going to use it? He may stop bringing it to my mind. See, thriving spiritually has a completely different feel to it. You feel completely different. I mean, you do the same activities. I may read scripture when I'm thriving and when I'm not, when I'm just surviving. But there's a completely different feel to it when I'm actually thriving. I'm actually loving and getting excited about the Word of God. And I'm sharing it with people that I know. And it's not just, I'm just sharing it. Say, hey, have you read this verse? Yeah, I read it. No, it's, man, have you read this? Do you know what that's saying? Do you know what was going on at that time? Do you understand what Paul is saying here? We need that. We need that outlet. And the greatest thing about being in a group of people is the fact that when I'm growing and when I see them grow, I can see God working in their life. And it reconfirms for me that, you know, I'm not a lost cause. Because I'm not as bad as them, right? No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, I see God working in their life and I think, isn't that awesome? And I can celebrate with them. And then God works in my life and they can celebrate with me. God works around us and through us. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Remember, I said that the lie that Satan has placed in our society and in our minds is the fact that we can do it by ourselves. All you need is your faith in Jesus, right? That's all you need. No, that is not all you need. You do need that. That is foundational. But you need growth and you need other people around you. But Satan comes, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This abundant life comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ and a relationship with other believers around you. You know that? Your abundant life is dependent upon those you bring around you. Now, every mother has told their son, or father has told their son or daughter, be careful who you hang around with, because you're going to be judged by who you hang around with, right? We've all told our kids that. The same thing goes spiritually. If I'm not around anybody else, first of all, there's a couple of things that happen. Either I don't grow spiritually if I'm not around believers, and if I'm not around unbelievers, I never have the opportunity to share the gospel. See, I'm not saying that we as a church and we as believers need to sequester ourselves and not be around anybody in the community. What I am saying is we need to be in multiple relationships with multiple people. We need to be in people's lives. I need to be in my neighbor's lives so I can share the gospel. I need people from the church and people from the body in my life so they can help me grow. Now that's one of the main purposes of a relationship. The first one is to persevere in the faith. We go to Hebrews 3:12-14. This is what it says, the writer says, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Take care that there's nobody amongst you that has an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another, or talk to one another, lift each other up, talk to one another, give each other information, give each other advice, give each other love and compassion, exhort them. Do it every day as long as it is called today, not just once in a blue moon, but every day, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold of our original confidence firm in the end. I want everybody to listen to what I'm going to tell you right here. It's important that you understand this. And what I'm going to say does happen and will happen if you're not diligent. There are two kinds of believers in Jesus. There are those who believe in Jesus and hold firm to the end. That's what he says here. That's what the writer says. If we hold our original confidence firm to the end. There are also those, and I can prove it with scripture, there are also those who say they believe in Jesus but will fall away from the faith. Because they're not strong and they're not holding to the original belief that they had. What's the difference between the two people, the two groups of believers? It's verse 14. For we have come to what? Share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. those that persevere and hold that confidence to the end. Those are the genuine Christians. They're those who hold fast and persevere. Yeah, they're going to have trouble. And yes, they're going to need people to come alongside them and say, keep going. Don't stop. Paul talks about running a race. Could you imagine, you know, imagine you're running a race. I'm not a runner. The greatest day in my life was when my doctor told me I don't have a runner's body. I said, yes. But imagine you're running a race and the whole time you have somebody running along beside you saying, go, go, keep going, keep going, don't slow down, go, go, go. You would keep going, wouldn't you? You wouldn't stop. There's an awesome scene from, I don't remember the movie, it's Facing the Giants, I think. And the kid is on the ground and the coach is just on him. Move, you gotta keep going, you gotta keep going. Just go, go, go. And he finds out he went further than he ever thought he could. Yeah, he was blindfolded. You know, that's what we need. We need people around us who are pushing us. I mean, I do it on Sunday mornings. Believe me, I try to challenge you, but it's not enough. Because I got you for 2 hours on Sunday morning, and the world has you for the rest of that time. We need believers in our lives who can help us stay firm to our original confidence. So how do we do that? How do we persevere? It is only possible because of an intentional surrender. You have to intentionally surrender to God every day. Yes, I'm a believer. I'm a pastor. And I have to get up in the morning and say, God, today's yours. I have to surrender every day. And you know what? There are days I don't. I'll be honest with you. There are days I don't surrender. Those are the days I'm the loneliest I could be because I don't want to be around anybody. But when I surrender, he brings people around me to encourage me. I want to remind you of the deceptive nature of sin. It is real. And there's warnings in Scripture about how real it is. We see it in apathy and lukewarmness. I believe the church is probably going to be in most, the biggest danger of being lukewarm than anything else. We look at the seven churches. I think we're a lukewarm church. We're just happy to sit and get our fill on Sunday mornings, but we're not on fire and we're not cool and refreshing. And what does Jesus say he's going to do with us? Spit us out of his mouth. I think the church is in danger of that. And this lukewarmness has become acceptable in the church. It doesn't matter if it's a big church or a small church. It happens in all of them. We need to be on fire for God. We need to be on fire for Christ. We need to be cool and refreshing. And we only could do that when we're in relationship with people. We have to fight this deception. And how does he do that? How can we fight it? How do we do it? And again, it's right there in Hebrews. In verse 13, he says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He says right there, you can't do it alone. He says, exhort one another. I make up little cards and give people, you've just been exhorted. You're good for the day, right? You know? We need to be lifting each other up, encouraging one another. The second purpose for relationships is to help us to do radical acts of love. Hebrews 10, 23 through 27 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Jesus is faithful to us. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. We need to stir one another up to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as we see the day drawing near. We're going to talk about that day starting next week. We're going to spend 6 weeks talking about the tribulation and what's going to happen between now and someday in the future. As we draw closer to the end, he said, the writer of Hebrews says, we need to even more encourage one another. Because why? It's not going to get any easier. It's going to be harder. We need to keep doing this. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. If you are a believer in Christ, if you proclaim to be a believer in Christ, and yet you continue to return to the sin, you've got a problem. And you know judgment is coming. There is no forgiveness of sin if you're continuing to sin. If you're continuing to go back to that sin. Now you can struggle with it, and that happens. Believe me, there are sins in my life that I fight with all the time. The temptation's always there, and I'm always having to fight the temptation. But if I continually go back to it, and back to it, and back to it, the writer of Hebrews says, you gotta look at your salvation. Why do you think scripture Paul tells us to confess your sins one to another? I know it's hard. I don't want to tell people my dirty laundry. I want to hear everybody else's dirty laundry. You know? But that's why, so that we can encourage one another. Hey, how you doing with that today? I've been praying for you. Well, I ran that guy off the road today. It's extreme. I know. I was talking to somebody and I said some things I probably shouldn't have said. My language wasn't the best. Yeah, like, well, what's the big deal? Swearing, that's no big deal. Oh, really? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Some of the things we say today and we see on TV and we see in the media, pretty unwholesome. And I'm not even talking about the big swear words. You know? But if nobody knows we got a problem with it, how can they help us? If we're not in relationships with people, how can they lift us up and encourage us? We are to stir up one another to love and good works. Oh, believe me, we like to stir the pot, don't we? This is stirring the pot like it's supposed to be. I always think when I'm cooking, I always tell the kids, you know, stir the pot. You know, keep it going. And they're, no, nice and gentle. I don't want to have to clean up the stove. See, we can only stir one another up and encourage one another when we are in relationships. And the best place that happens, it begins to happen, is in life groups. Believe me, life groups are not the end all. For us, my belief is that life groups are the launch pad. I may be in a life group with somebody, but that doesn't mean it stops there. You know, they're my life group, so I'm good. No, that means I need to meet with them sometime outside of that time also. I need to be friends with them. Life groups are just a way of beginning to build relationships. Because if not, it becomes just like Sunday morning. We come in here and we go through the motions. It's for building deeper relationships. I'm skipping all over the place. That's okay. See, God will bring about radical acts of love by when we stir each other up. Passionate people need to stir up passion in others. So let's say I have on my heart that I want to help this family that's down the road. So what do? Do I do it by myself? No. I get others that I know who could also have that passion and say, listen, we really got to help Bob and Sandy. Why? Because they're really struggling right now. They have 6 kids. He lost his job. And they need their lawn mowed and the trees trimmed. Let's go do that for them. All right, great. Let's go do it. And you get 3 or 4 people together and you go do it. Bob and Sandy come out and say, what are you doing? We're just helping you because we love you and Jesus loves you. You know, that's stirring one another up for acts of love. I love what it says in the message. I want to read verses 32 through 37 from the message. I don't preach from the message because it's not its intent. It's not made for preaching, but it is a modern modern interpretation of Scripture, and I think Peterson did a really pretty good job of this, at least in this part. It says, remember those early days when you first saw the light? Remember when you were first a believer? Those were the hard times. Kicked around in public, targets of every kind of abuse. Some days it was you, other days your friends. If some friends went to prison, you stuck by them. So you have a friend who goes to prison. You going to go visit him? Or do you just say, well, you know, he's an idiot. I'm not worried about it. I'll talk to him when he gets out. No, you go and you stick by them. If some enemies broke in and seized your goods, you let them go and with a smile. Whoa. So how many of us would allow a robber to come into our house and take our stuff and walk out? I don't think so, right? I got my 45 under the bed. I'll take care of it. That's the way we are. But what does this say? You didn't do that. You just let them have it. Not with a gun. You let them have your stuff. Knowing they couldn't touch your real treasure. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It is still a sure thing. You're sure of who Jesus is, who he is in your life. That's the most important thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. See, does this kind of thing happen on Sunday morning? I don't think so. It's too easy for the church to focus all its energy on Sunday morning. And believe me, Sunday mornings are valuable. They're valuable for telling the truth. They're valuable for joining us together and to worship God together as a corporate body. It's important for us to be together on Sunday mornings. But it's still not conducive to truly encouraging one another. Yeah, I can encourage you before the service. I can encourage you after the service. But you know when the real encouragement comes is when we go to lunch together. And I can encourage you from the pulpit. I try not to be too discouraging. I just tell it like it is sometimes. Does it happen in Sunday school? It can. It can happen in Sunday school. It's not quite as conducive. It's better than here. But it's not the best. What about prayer before the service? What if we all gather for prayer? Is that a great time to encourage one another? Well, not really, because that's not your focus. Your focus is praying for the service. On Monday mornings, we intercede for people. That's not the greatest time for me to build everybody up in that team. I do the best I can, but I need to be in relationships with them elsewhere. I need to encourage people elsewhere. It's not the best place. It's valuable, believe me. We need to be in here. We need to be in Sunday school. We need to be in prayer. We need to be with each other in this building. But there's much more value when we're out in a life group, digging deeper into Scripture and building relationships at other times. See, the reason we have life groups is not just to give you another thing to do. I mean, I can give you lots of things to do. But God is calling us to be involved in life group because we all need to be encouraged to persevere in this life. And we also need to be encouraged to radical acts of love, which were normal in the first century church. All right, I'm going to jump down here. We must understand that also, lastly, that life groups are our destiny. We must remember that in the end, we end up in an eternal community. This is what it says in Revelation, chapter 21, verse 3 and 4. It says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The former things have passed away. God's eternal dwelling is with us. We will be in perfect community with each other in eternity. it'll be a nice big life group. And I also believe, I people say, well, what are we going to do in heaven? You know, we're going to be playing harps and no, we'll have things we're supposed to do. We'll be worshiping God, believe me. But we'll also have tasks that we have to do and we'll still be meeting together. We'll still know each other. It won't be like Beth and I are still married. Jesus says that's not the way it is. But I'll still know her and I'll love her and I'll love you and we'll still be in relationships with each other. Just not the way we do now. It'll be perfect. An eternal community with God and one another. Boy, how sweet will that be? No more gossip, no more backbiting, encouraging one another. Isn't God awesome? Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah. We also have to remember, and this is something that's hard, I think, for us to grasp sometimes, is that Jesus is not returning for us as an individual. Who's Jesus returning for? The bride. All of us. He's returning for a group, not an individual. Now, yeah, I know, we're all part of that, and so he is returning for me, technically. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says he's returning for his bride, all of us together, as a group. We are designed for, because remember, God says it's not good for man to be alone. We are designed to live in community. We're designed for, our purpose is to encourage one another to good works and to persevere in the faith. And ultimately, we will spend our eternity in a community. So I encourage you. I encourage you now to get involved in life groups. We have life groups that happen on Monday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights. We have a Thursday night with Tim and Sherry. We have a guys group that gets together on Saturday mornings. That won't happen until April because we have Upward and we're all involved in Upward. But we get together down at Crimson House and we can start more groups. If I get the right leaders in place, I'm more than happy to start more life groups. It's not just something else to do. It's something to help you grow. But I encourage you to join one. There's a bulletin, there's an insert in your bulletin that has the three on there, has the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We can add Thursday if you're interested, and Tim and Sherry can give you that information. Monday night is Jeff Klitz teaches, has a life group. He has a life group at his house. Tuesday night's at our house, and then Wednesday night's at Aaron's house. Get involved in one. Try it out. And what we're doing now is we're starting a new method of doing it. We will do it for 11 or 12 weeks. So starting next week, we will start life groups and they will only go for 12 weeks. And then we're going to take a month off because we need a break. And it's a perfect opportunity if you want to try another life group, try a different night. There's nothing that says that you can't go to Aaron's group. Just because you are not young. There's nothing that says you can't come to my group because you're not young and not old and whatever. There's nothing that says that if you miss your life group, you can't go to one of the other life groups that week. If they're following, we're going to be going back to studying the sermons. I've been writing small group lessons as I have been writing my sermons for the next 6 weeks. So you can pick that up. But please, I encourage you to get involved in a life group. Remember the sequoias. In a biblical community, we can feel love and be loved. We can receive grace and we can extend grace. And we watch the transformation in other people's lives. Our roots are intertwined. And we're holding each other up and encouraging one another. Please, seriously pray about joining the life group and getting involved. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Lord, we know that you're in perfect community. You, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all together as one in perfection. And we know, Lord, that we are to be in community. It's not good for man to be alone. And while our families are important, it needs to go way beyond that. Lord, we just ask that you help us. Help us to exhort one another, to encourage one another, to persevere in the faith. And also encourage one another to acts of exceedingly great love. We thank you. We look forward to the communities that you're going to build amongst us here on earth. But most of all, Father, we look forward to the community that we'll spend eternity in. We'll have you with us, living amongst us. May we honor you, Father, in what we do and say. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.